them as well. Hey, I tell you what, today, Connor has already shared, today is Mother's Day. So let's just take a moment, and I want all of you mothers to stand up on your feet. We just want to put our hands together and give the Lord praise. Come on, moms, be proud you're a mom. Be proud God chose you to be a mother, a grandmother, stepmother, whatever you might be. Hey, we are so thankful for all of you moms, and we're thankful to get to worship with you today. I tell you what, today you're in for a treat because it is Mother's Day. And how many of you, we're going to be really transparent and real today. That be all right with y'all? We're not going to be real preacher-like. We're just going to kind of try to share my life, share our life with you a little bit. How many of you know that oftentimes we take the women in our life for granted, men? If your husband did not say amen, you have full permission to reach over and elbow him right between that fourth and fifth rib. Sometimes we take our mothers for granted. Sometimes we take our wives for granted. And so I want you to know that today is all about the Lord, number one, and about the salvation that he offers sinners like you and I. But number two, today we're going to celebrate moms. And we're going to celebrate the women. We're going to celebrate the ones that do the dirty stuff and the ugly stuff. We're going to celebrate them. And like I said, you are absolutely in for a treat today because I have asked my wife of 28 years, Tubby, to come and sit down with me and speak into the lives of moms and women here. We're going to talk about marriage, we're going to talk about motherhood, and we're going to talk about a few things that you're going to be like, oh my Lord, I can't believe that's my preacher saying that. I just tell you this, I would not be here without her. I couldn't do what I do without her. I just go back and I say this, that you know what? The Lord knew us before we were in our mother's womb. And when God created the earth, he created man. He created Adam first. And then Adam said, I need a helper. And the Bible says that God created a helper that was perfect to meet Adam's needs. And I'm just telling you, Tubby is my perfect helpmeet. She balances me out. I love her. And so put your hands together for Tubby. And as she comes to the stage, and we're going to sit down and visit just a little bit today. I will say this while she's coming up here. Oftentimes people say to me, they talk to me about being a pastor and all that. And I'll tell you this. Here's what I really truly believe when it comes to church. The toughest job in the church is not being the pastor. It's being the pastor's wife. Because she doesn't always get a voice, because when people don't have the courage to say negative things to the pastor, they'll go find the pastor's wife after church and complain about those things. And then, you know, I get up here on Sunday mornings and I'm prayed up and prepared and I preach. And then when I go home, when I'm mad about stuff, guess what? You don't get to hear it, but she does. When I'm aggravated, when I'm hurt, you know, when people do things, say things. Anyway, I wouldn't be here without Tubby and her prayers. So love you, Tubby. Greet the people and say hello this morning.
That was so sweet. A little softer side of Cody right there. Love it.
You look pretty this morning too, Tubby.
Thanks,
just
okay,
saying.
That's good. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I just want to say that, okay, we just celebrated our 25 years anniversary here, and that is just such a special thing to us. We're so proud that the Lord would see fit to use us here. It is a privilege. You guys make this church. You know, without the people, it's just nothing. And without what the Lord's doing in your lives, it just means the world. And we're just so proud. And I'm so thankful for how y'all pour into our lives. And then hopefully we're doing the same for you guys. And just love it. And I'm especially proud of you mamas today, because moms have the best job in the world.
Amen.
Hardest,
amen.
But the best amen. Job. And we got the best mamas here.
Yep. And so I'll say this, and then I'm going to pray so we can have the Holy Spirit to anoint this. But I'm just going to say, I have waited for this day for so long. I just want y'all to know. And I am so thankful it is being recorded today. Because for 25 of being pastors, she has critiqued every sermon that I have ever preached. And when maybe I was not at my best throughout the week, she would remind me, preacher man, what'd you say on Sunday morning? You're not acting like that right now. So I am so excited to return the favor to her today.
What a fun role the Lord gave me, being just
helped
me.
Let's pray, please. Okay. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for life and for loving us. Thank you for partners and marriage and helpmeets and mamas, Lord. We just pray that you would anoint this time, that you would send your Holy Spirit, Lord, that when we share today, it would just be a testimony to what you've done in our lives and a testimony to what you can do in every one of our lives. So bless this time. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to start out talking about marriage a little bit because today's motherhood, marriage is the foundation, the biblical way a man and a woman get married and then they start having children. I'm going to tell you right up front, we do not have marriage figured out. We don't have it figured out. We don't have this perfect, cute little marriage. We got a marriage, and it's awesome, and it's amazing, and it is the greatest joy in our life besides salvation, but it's a struggle. So talk to everybody a little bit today. Let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about what it looks like to get married.
Well, I'm sad to say that in the recent years, I finally realized it's not my job to fix him. Like, all the time, my job has been to fix him. And I, you know, you read all the books. And of course, every time you read those God-honoring books, they're like pointing the finger back at you. And you're like, oh, that's not the one. But
so I got to jump in right there because I remember a book you bought one time.
No, I was ready.
Oh,
I was
going to
get.
Him.
No, go. You tell him. No, I'm being submissive.
What was the name of the book? I forgot. What was the name of the book? Submissive Mob. What was the name of the book?
Power of a Praying Wife.
The Power of a Praying Wife. And she bought this book and she thought, yes, I'm going to learn how to pray for him and I'm going to fix him.
The Lord's going to strike him through my prayers.
And the book said,
Power of Prayer.
You got to change you before you change him.
It was me that needed the changing. And a lot of hard truth in that. But
so share a little
bit
about marriage.
First of all, I had the best foundation the way I was raised. My mom and dad have loved and honored God all their lives. They're not perfect people, but let me tell you, my mom and dad really were intentional with how they wanted to live their lives and raise their kids, and it has shown in our lives. We just are benefiting from the right heritage of godly faith, so I'm thankful for that and my parents.
Amen. Amen.
Can't take for that. Can't
yeah, and I got to say, I had a great mama, too, man. I had a great mama who sacrificed. My mother and dad divorced, my mother was just a worker, man. She just worked and sacrificed. So thank God for godly heritage. So if you don't have that kind of mama, I'll say this in love. Don't feel sorry for yourself, but become that kind of mama now for the children that are coming up next underneath you.
That was a good word,
yeah,
Mom.
Yeah, go. I know.
Okay, so we've been talking lately, and I love this whole Exceeding series. It's beautiful. It's been amazing. And so the whole part on marriage, like God, you said recently that God set things in order, and it's good. Like his design for marriage, it's a blueprint for success. And it's so cool that he makes it easy for us to understand. There's roles for the husband. There's roles for the wife. And for whatever reason, our culture and, you know, society, we are just easily deceived. So they don't agree with that. But, you know, it's really freeing to know that you're the head of the home. I don't have to make all the big decisions for us. And, like, you always consider me. But we work together so well. But, man, it's freeing for me to get to be the role that I'm really designed to do and be. Like, I want to love the kids. I want to nurture the kids. I want to make the home a space that everybody wants to be. And I want to just do life and enjoy my family. And I've learned to enjoy you better.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
That's miraculous.
No, I love it. And you've done a great job because, like you said, you know what I mean? This world, there's an attack on biblical marriage, whether we want to believe it or not. There's these attacks, and it's this same-sex marriage deal, and it's this feminist movement that's going on. But actually, if we're going to go back to the blueprint and we're going to believe the Word of God, it is one man and one woman. And Adam was created to be the spiritual leader of that home, and the wife was there to be the helpmeet for him. And so you have been a great helpmeet to me. And marriage has been a struggle. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. But it is a struggle, but it is a joy as well. You got and I got to look at our lives as and our marriages as a joy. Sometimes that's hard, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm thankful for Tubby.
Well, and we've learned, too, that the second part of God's design is serving one another. And that's not natural for us. I mean, you think about all the things when you're looking at getting married and what you think you look forward to, but you really don't spend a lot of time thinking how you're going to serve each other. But that is the other part of God's design that just makes for healthy relationships. And then on the other side of things, when you go through the hard stuff and you overcome the enemy and his tactics and you can overcome, and it just feels amazing that you've fought the good fight.
Tell the enemy to stick it when he didn't cause you to split up. Yeah.
That's right.
Feels great and good. So, and one more thing on marriage, and then we're going to move on down to motherhood. But it's just, I think we have learned, and you speak into this too, to here's the deal. It doesn't matter who wins the fight. That if I win the fight, we have lost the fight. If she wins the fight, we have lost the fight. And we're learning after 28 years to go, I don't have to have the last word. And I'm not trying to win the fight. We're trying to stay unified as a unit that Christ can be glorified in our lives. Yeah.
Great. So good.
Good. Wow. Okay. So let's talk about one more part of marriage, and then we're going to move on. Let's talk about struggles of marriage. How many of y'all struggle in marriage? Let me see. Raise your hand. Be honest. Be real. Struggles. So let's talk about maybe the struggles of marriage, and what was the hardest seasons? What were some of the hardest seasons of our marriage?
There's, you know, when you think about a whole of 28 years, there's been several hard times. Like, I mean, the first things that come to mind are like when Jesse was 4, he fell in a fire and he burned his hands really badly. And we spent a week in the burn unit and we're, you know, praise God, you know, he has recovered well from that. But that was such a hard time watching your 4-year-old suffer like that and go through that. And then when we were pregnant with Clara, the doctors gave us bad reports all along. So for 5 months of our pregnancy, we were just had this dark shadow over this baby we were expecting and praying for healthy and all the negative reports that the doctor was giving us. And she asked me to say this time that she actually is healthy, in case you're wondering, not why she think anybody would doubt that, but she, praise God. And then, you know, I got really sick in 2017. My health was just rock bottom. And then we've had 4 miscarriages along the way. We wanted more kids. And then, you know, we you know, those are hard, hard things that you go through. But you know what's so cool is we put our faith to work during those seasons. And we had people around us that put our faith to work. And they began praying for us when we couldn't pray. Or, you know, we would just see God show up and just little nuggets along the way to help you through, you know, and it's beautiful. It is beautiful. So even though those were the hardest times, the Lord saw us through, and that is just so amazing to come to the other side of those hard times. And then the second part of hard times that I think are hard when you think, what are some of your hardest times, is when we're not doing well together, when we're neglecting each other, when we're not getting along. I get kind of hopeless, like, okay, I don't know how to talk to him. We can't communicate. We see things different. I need him to see things the way I see them. And, you know, just learning to surrender yourself and just die to that. Those are hard things that the enemy wants to destroy between us. And I'm so thankful we've never let it just get us down.
And yeah, and not
praise
only
God.
Do you get hopeless, you get vicious when you get like
mean.
That too sometimes.
I got
I'm just
a temper,
saying.
Y'all.
But here's the deal. Here's something that we've always believed and kind of stayed on, that marriage is not built on perfect people, but it's built on the solid foundation of Christ. And our family and our circle and this church have been so good because I'm the pastor of this church that we got it easy and smooth, you are deceived. We've been through some tough times when this church family and people here really came in and, like she said, and sowed good seeds and encouraged us. And so marriage is a total, total joy. And I would say this, that it is the only reason we've made it through is the grace of God, the power of prayer, and the power of our circle. That's what's helped us make it through and helped her not divorce
me. Agreed. And goes both ways here.
Yep.
So, 2 things too. When you realize, when you honor your husband, that brings honor to God, even though it doesn't feel good sometimes because maybe he doesn't deserve it, or maybe you don't like what he's doing, or maybe you're having a heart, he's whatever. Honoring your husband is honoring to God, and that is such a cool, cool thing. And then having a heart of gratitude really changes your perspective on whatever the struggles are, because we usually forget what we're fussing about.
Yeah.
Later,
agreed.
And you're like, what were we fussing
about? I forget, you don't.
Oh.
Never do you forget what we were fussing about. So marriage is a blessing. Wives are a blessing. Husbands, I'll just encourage you. Love your wives, love your mamas. And so talk about moms and Mother's Day. Let's move on to motherhood. You know, what a great joy of having children. And I just, when we were putting this down, I was thinking about this. Do you remember when we first found out that you were pregnant? I mean, it was a struggle for us. We tried for 2 years and we couldn't get pregnant. And we were like, what is the deal? This is our dream and our hope. And so we just kept praying and praying and praying and trying and trying and trying to get pregnant and trying and trying and trying and just saying. Remember when you first got pregnant? You remember when the kids were born, that how this body, how it just grew and had stretch marks
and grew.
And that's where her nickname Tubby came from. She gained like 100 pounds when Will was born.
True.
I'm just saying what she was praying.
Somebody in the church gave me that nickname, so you can't be mad at him. Actually somebody in the church.
Just remembering when we first got pregnant, how much joy that brought. Remembering when we gave birth and first saw Will and Jesse and Clara, and remember bringing them home for the first time to their nursery, and just here you are, and it's this. And I just say, man, remember the joy of being a mama, because it is. I know it's a struggle, but man, what a joy. So Tubby, speak to us a little bit about motherhood.
Well, I just think after 28 years of being married, there's been some pretty cool stuff we've got to enjoy in life together. But there's just nothing that compares to your family and being a mom, having these children. I mean, there's just this overwhelming love that you get immediately for these precious little innocent babies that you get to love and nurture. And it is the scariest thing, leaving that hospital and realizing you're responsible to now keep them alive. And hopefully you won't ruin their lives and all the things along the way, you know, right? But man, it is just only God that does that kind of thing. And for him to entrust them to us, I mean, what was he thinking? I sometimes would question, Lord, are you sure? But that is just the best job. I am not kidding when I say my favorite role, wife and mom. But, you know, these kids and man, still the seasons change all of the whole way. And I have enjoyed every season of being a mom. And I'm glad that we were intentional to be present and to make some choices to, like, spend more time together as a family, do less of other things so that we were having more time together, because, you know, it was so rewarding. And we still have good relationships with our kids so far.
Yeah, for sure. Thank God. Yeah, so far we do. Yeah, and so that's one thing we've always said. You know what, moms, you're so busy. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. And I've said to Jennifer 1,000 times, leave the dirty dishes in the sink. Let's go hang out as a family. Let's go on the back porch. Because when the kids get older, they're not going to be like, oh, my gosh, my mom left dishes in the sink. They're going to say, hey, I remember.
Well, and we, early on, before we even had kids, we set goals for our family. Like, we would watch families, and we liked the way their lifestyle was. Of course, we were living out on the ranch way back then, not even had anything ministry on the radar. But we want to raise our kids, you know, and we want to probably homeschool. We want you to stay home and take care of the kids, and we just want to go out on the ranch and feed the cattle together and all the things. And then also, we wanted our kids to have a biblical perspective as much as we could with their foundation, with their education, and with other things. And so I think you got to be pretty intentional with your focus and then keep reminding yourself of your focus and why you're doing what you're doing. And, you know, what's super cool to me is that, like, I can learn something for every mom in this room, and I have along the way. It's just the way God set things in order for us to sharpen one another, and how the young mamas, they have some strengths that I don't. I look at them and I'm trying to encourage them, and then I'm like, whoa, okay, I like that. That's my weakness. Help me with that, Lord. But it's such a neat thing. Man, get you some good mamas in your corner.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, talk about a couple of things. Talk about first about how important that is for not only if it's not your mom, but for other women in your life. Talk about how important that is to have the discipleship thing. Yes.
Well, of course, we know it's in Scripture how the older women are supposed to train the younger women, and so that is beautiful because the experiences in life they've had, whether they've been right or wrong, they've learned a lesson, you know, and they can teach us something. And then, so anybody younger than you, man, take them under your wing, love on them, spend some time with them, just pour out a little love. I mean, it's crazy what the littlest acts of love can do to help someone be encouraged. And we're women, we're emotional. We'll get to that later, I guess. And we need that support system. Even if you just have a one mama friend, just get in her back pocket. And God set that up in order so that we can help each other. Because sometimes, you know, it is survival at times. You know, your toddlers are surviving you and you're surviving your toddlers. So you got to have some backup.
For sure. For sure. So I'm talking about that. It's sometimes it's survival. You know what I mean? I mean, like, can I just say this to encourage you moms and young moms? Because Jennifer said, I was afraid that I couldn't do it right. And I'm afraid I didn't know how to do the homeschool thing. Can I just say this? Jennifer started out talking about God's blueprint. And God's blueprint is a plan for success. You know what? God created you to be a mama. And so you know what? That instinct kicks in, and it may not kick in until last minute, but it's just the God-given thing. So talk about struggles. Talk about when you get these kids and you've been doing what you want to do and you've been going and hanging out with your husband and whatever, and all of a sudden now you have these responsibilities and they're screaming, crying, pooping in their diaper, wanting something to eat. Like,
yes, it's constant.
Talk about that. Yeah.
I want to say there was something I read the other day that, like, toddlers say their mom's name, like, mom, like, several hundred times a day. Mom, 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 all day long, you know, and that seems little, but it's crazy. All the things can just wear you down and exhaust you, and it's tiring. It's hard work. Marriage is hard work. Raising children is hard work. You know, we just can't be afraid of the hard work of it. We can't shy away from that. And I think balance is, like, a big deal for women. Finding that balance of wanting to create the environment at home you want to create, have healthy relationships with your husband and your kids, and still feeling like you haven't lost yourself or your identity or all things, you know. But I think less is more. You want balance, and things are out of balance. Your relationships are struggling. That's your key, that things are out of balance. If you're not able to keep the peace, you're probably out of balance with too much going on. You may be doing a lot of good things, but maybe you're missing the best things, you know. So less is more, and this season's going to change. You only have this little pocket of time. Let me tell you, now that we have a 25-year-old and a 22-year-old and a 14-year-old, we're running, we're about done with this raising these kids thing. We're going to take off and go to Hawaii or something. I don't know.
No,
but the seasons of getting to be a mom and work hard and just do what God's called you to do and be for them, it's going to change fast. And enjoy those seasons, too.
Yep. No, I think that's a great point that you brought up, is enjoy the season. Because I think that Jennifer would say, like, I watch Katie Grace and I watch Connor and Kenzie and Darren with these new babies and you guys, the Jacksons, and you got these new babies right now. And I'm just telling you, I would go back that quick to my 25-year-old and my 22-year-old to be that age where I could hold them and listen to them cry and even change their dirty diapers. So embrace the season. Embrace the season, because it will be over and it goes by very, very fast.
Yeah, he was the dad that he did not like the mall at all. Like, he would not go to the mall with you for anything. And he got a little backpack for Will, and he would go to the mall and carry him around in the backpack for everybody to see, his little boy. And he had a little cat that said, Will's dad.
Yeah. Did the same thing with Jesse Pate, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah. Well, back on the balance thing real quick. So I think for mamas, I think this is just really good, because it was given to me, and I'm so grateful for it. A mom was talking to me about, during the day, you have two kinds of time. During a day, you have reactive time, and then you have kind of your intentional time. So most of your day is in that reactive time, where you're responding whatever's needed from you in the moment, you know. And with little kids, you know, it's always something, and you're having to change a diaper, they fell and scraped their knee, you're having to console a crying baby, I mean, you know, you're fixing the next meal, you're doing all the things, and so that's called reactionary time. But we have time in our day, and this is where we have to get real intentional, is that time that's discretionary or intentional time of deciding, what are you going to do with that time? Maybe you need a nap, you know? Maybe you need to get up just a little bit earlier in the morning so you can kind of renew your mind for the day, set your goals for the day, keep them simple and doable, and don't beat yourself up for what you didn't get done yesterday. But, you know, refocus and get a little done today. Enjoy your people and use your discretionary time well, and be prepared for the reactionary time. And you've got to be prepared for both, and you will be so much more successful in your days, and you'll enjoy it so much better.
Sure. So let me tell you about one of Jennifer's reactive times. Will was about a year old, and I was at the house, and I was riding two-year-olds, and I'm riding horse. And so Jennifer's been doing for a month, a year, taking care of Will, and Will's a little knucklehead. He's half Cochran. He's half Langston.
He was almost two. Yeah, he was getting the
I don't know how old he was, but my phone started ringing and ringing and ringing, and I finally answered the phone. And she didn't say, I said, hello, babe. And she said, come meet me right now and get this kid, or I'm going to hurt him, and I'm going to do something that's going to cause me to go to prison. I can't take him anymore.
It wasn't that dramatic.
Yes, it was.
Something like that.
It was probably more dramatic than that. But I just remember. And so I'll say this again, like, don't be afraid to ask for help. If you get to this point, Mom, where you just, like, feel you're at wit's end, like, don't be trying to pass your kids off all the time. But if you get to that point, reach out and ask for some help.
Yeah, because you start Monday real good, and by Thursday you're like, man, I should have planned a coffee date, and I should have got Dad to keep the boys for a couple hours. You know, it's good to plan that in your week because you need a break, especially if you're staying home with them full time. So
yes, and so struggles, dying to yourself, renewing your mind. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to one
prepare
more thing because
challenges.
I think it's prepare for the challenges. But how do you teach and train kids? Because we've been pastoring for 25 years and we see your kids. And we see our kids. And so teaching and training children is a struggle. And if dad's working and mom's at home, a lot of that falls back on mom. So how do you, because nowadays everybody just wants to, it feels like everybody wants to be my children's friend, which means you never set boundaries, you never discipline, you never train them. So talk about teaching and training biblically and being their friend, but also setting boundaries for them too.
Well, so first of all, you are definitely their biggest influence, whether you think you are or not. I know when these kids get older and they're teenagers, you're like, they're fine, they're good now. Well, you know, you got to keep investing. You got to get that word in them because there's a lot of world around them and they need to know how to navigate the season they're in with your influence and your wisdom. And
say it again.
I can remember when the boys were teenagers and we would sit at the coffee table most mornings, and usually you were with us, and sometimes you weren't. But I could remember the mornings I was doing it by myself, and we're reading the Bible together. You know, we tried to make that our habit. And I can remember the boys, I thought, we're talking about this stuff, and I'm trying to encourage them about it or whatever. And they're over there, and I'm pretty sure they were not even awake, you know, and they might be drooling or something because it's early morning, you know. And I thought, they're not getting it. But, you know, I decided I'm not going to force. I'm just going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to live by example. I'm going to believe the word of God's true. I'm going to get it in them as best I can and leave the rest up to the Lord. And you know what? I didn't ruin my relationship with them along the way because of what I was trying to force. And then also, there's just a beautiful foundation of the word of God in them that started generations back. And that's a cool part of training in my book. I think you train faith. Then there's the other side of training their behavior. And that's the hard one because I think we are just geared to just fix behavior, you know. And I think one mama that was really trying to help me through a hard season, she was like, you know, you ought to try praising their good behavior 10 times to every one time you're correcting their behavior. Because sometimes all I was doing to even talk to my kids was when I needed to be getting on to them. I wasn't really paying attention to the good things they were doing. I wasn't saying, hey, you shared a toy with your brother. Good job. Oh, you hugged him that time instead of hit him. That's beautiful. That is, let's go. You get a sucker. I mean, you know, anything to just praise the good behavior. Because really your kids, when we're talking they're little and growing, they really want to please you. They do. And, you know, it's healthy to have boundaries. Kids thrive in that. I don't know if we said that yet.
Yeah.
We did. But anyway, that is such a big deal for kids. And they need it. And don't feel bad because you're setting it and you're the one in charge. Do not let your kids be in charge. It's a bad move.
Yep. Because we are mamas. You are preparing your children to fight a vicious enemy who at the moment is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And moms, if you get the word of God in them, and moms, you teach them how to behave and act in a character that honors God, you are preparing them to win the battle when they get out on their own.
So good.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you better not leave it up to this one to teach and train your kids because he's not called to that job. You are. You know, in Deuteronomy 6, it tells us that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our strength, and our mind. And then we're supposed to teach and train our children in the ways they should go, which is according to his word and his commands. And we do that. What it goes on to tell us even more, it's trying to help us out. And it repeats this over and over. It says, while you're doing life together, In the mornings when you get up, be sharing your faith with each other. Kind of talk about the day, maybe what's coming up. In the afternoons as you're walking along the way, when you're struggling with your temper and your emotions, you know, kind of work that into your faith. Maybe at night when you're going to bed together, say a prayer for whoever needed your prayers that day. I mean, God's telling us this is how you teach and train your children in the faith. And it's just a cool thing when you think you're teaching your kids and you're like, whoa, I am growing in my faith.
Yeah, for sure. So we talked about marriage. We talked about motherhood. Two great things. Let's talk about one more point as we're honoring mothers and moms today that is really a struggle and an issue when it comes to women. Let's talk about our emotions and having a healthy mind. Let's just talk about that a little bit. How do you handle the emotions when you feel overwhelmed? Because you girls, y'all are emotional beings. Yes, can I hear an amen?
Yes, it's called sensitivity. It's called being in touch with your feelings. You don't know anything about that.
Yes.
No, but we are. God did create us to where, as women, we're feelers. We're emotional. We just are bigger in that whole emotion category than you guys are. And, you know, really and truly our emotions, we're either going to control them or they're going to control us, you know, and it's all about what are you going to do about it? Are you going to keep making the same mistakes? Are you going to learn from your mistakes? And are you going to set yourself up for success with that? Because I think every woman, we have to learn how to gain that self-control, that character quality of controlling how you feel so it doesn't make you act in a way that you wish you hadn't and that you regret later. I mean, because honestly, in our homes, either our families look forward to seeing us and coming home and being with us, or they're wondering, what kind of mood is she going to be in today? You're predictable. Actually, you may be predictably unpredictable, which is scary. But we do. We have to conquer that. That's another tactic of the enemy. He is going to tell us we are justified in how we feel. It's going to make you feel better to just respond and react like this. But what it's doing, it's hurting your relationships at home. It's losing trust from your children. You know, your children may not trust you like they really should and could. And it's going to cost you more than you really want to spend on those dang emotions.
Yes, and we have a great reminder at our house of Jennifer's emotions jumping up. In our garage, we have a big 3-foot grease stain, and it's not from her car. It's from one time we had bought some organic peanut butter, you know, the one that's not mixed up and has a bunch of oil on top of it. And I don't even remember what was going on, but we were all in the car, and the emotional bug jumped up and bit her in the butt. And out of the car, she went, opened the trunk up, grabbed the peanut butter, lost it, and threw the peanut butter jars down in the garage, scattered them everywhere, and now we still have the grease stain to remind us of it all.
Okay, well, that was so true. I really wanted to throw it at somebody because I was done with that day, you know, in the moments, and you're like, I'm done. She likes to throw stuff.
But I have
one time
we were in Guthrie, and she was
married less than a year. We did not kill each other.
You're getting emotional. Just saying. So for whatever reason, she was mad at me, and she was in the kitchen, and I was sitting in my chair in the living room, and all of a sudden, a Dr. Pepper can that was unopened flew by my head. This was the second time. I told first service she threw a telephone at me once.
I did that too.
This was even funnier because she threw the Dr. Pepper can right by my head. If it would have hit me, I would not be here today. I would be dead. But the funniest part is it hit in the living room and it knocked a hole in the aluminum can, so it just started spinning and spraying Dr. Pepper all over there. And I said, now get up and come in here and clean that up.
Yeah, that's not exactly what you said, because you weren't that brave.
But I left when I said it, just saying.
I'm not going to lie. I would have probably been a little bit satisfied had it hit you in the head. Probably a good thing it
didn't. Oh, gosh.
But see, we've survived, and we're better.
Yeah, for sure. And so we're learning. We're learning to deal with our emotions and all that.
Yes.
And so, go ahead.
You're doing great.
I'm doing good. Did y'all hear that? Can you put your hands together for me, because Jennifer said that I'm doing good today.
Back, but for the emotion thing for just a little bit, I think that you have to be so intentional, and you have to know what your weaknesses are in that, mm-hmm. and where you're going to struggle. Like, I know mine's anger, and I'm going to get angry quick. So I'm going to have to be prepared that he's not going to say what I like sometimes, and I have to be prepared to just, you said recently in a sermon to shut up, and I know you were talking to me, and I was like, dang it, he is talking to me. But really, sometimes you just have to be, if you're preparing yourself, you're going to respond better, and you're going to control your emotions better, and the enemy's going to suffer for that, and that's sure. beautiful.
And I think, too, I think you would say this, and if we are, you said the word prepared before, if we're preparing ourselves in the Word of God, and we're preparing our hearts and our minds, when those opportunities come up for our old emotions to jump out, we're better strengthened to handle that in a better way.
And we understand that on a physical level. If we want to be strong, we're going to lift weights and prepare ourselves or feed your body well. But it's the same spiritually. If you're not preparing yourself for the battles and preparing yourself to be strong-minded and strengthen your mind and strengthen yourself and not expecting someone else to do that for you, you're not going to be ready for the battles.
Sure. And just one last thing, and then I'll let you wrap it up. But we do have, and I want to say this to make sure that everybody knows, and I want you to agree with me because you already said it. We do have power over our emotions through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit has given us self-control, and we can't justify our emotions because he did, because she did. We have to rein those in, and we have to choose to have self-discipline. And in the same thing, I'll say this and I'm done. We have to choose joy in marriage, in motherhood, and we have to choose joy in our relationships when it comes to emotions, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, hey, yeah, wrap us up one last time. Give the moms a final word of encouragement. Give them, go.
Well, I can't say enough about the enjoy thing. I think we need to enjoy life, and joy is so precious and priceless. And along the lines of joy, you know, real growth comes when you're able to laugh at yourself a little bit. You know, don't take yourself so seriously. Just Amen. Laugh at yourself when you don't get it right, or when you're kind of being dumb or whatever, and then just, you know, get back on track. But I think sometimes we take ourselves way too seriously,
sure.
and that makes it impossible to feel like you can grow. I know women have challenges with confidence, with our just being enough or doing enough, and with just all the things. But I think if we'll make it our goal, okay, today I'm going to be life-giving. I've got people that are going to come along, and I want to be life-giving. I don't want to